Happy Mother's Day. A couple of the guys were like, we threw
off our offertory prayer guy this morning with skipping the announcements. Did we mess your mind up there, Jody?
I got lost.
Yeah. Trying to kind of tighten up our service a little bit, so for announcements to keep up with what's going on in the church, what I want you to do is our website, our bulletin. In the bulletin, you'll see, I think it's on the, if you'll open up the front cover on the left-hand side, we have a list of things coming up, so you can keep informed there, our website, and I will continue to put out my weekly email that kind of highlights things coming up in the next week or two. And also, we try to have a loop going on before this worship service with announcements and so forth. So try to keep up with that. We're going to treat you like big boys and big girls, that you don't have to be spoon-fed everything that we're doing, that you can keep up on your own. If you are a visitor with us this morning, we really are so glad that you're here, especially to all you moms. But if you are a visitor this morning, and we would love to know that you have been here, and we'd love to be able to have the ability to follow up with you, not to stalk you or anything like that. But there's a blue slip in the chair in front of you. If you wouldn't mind us knowing you were here, we'd love for you to fill that out, and you can just leave it in your chair there. It would be just fine. So glad that you are here. I was looking at a couple of famous people, what some things they said about moms. I wanted to just read these real quickly. The first one was from Abraham Lincoln, and he said this. He said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And I can attest to that. Billy, you ain't the only one that gets to brag about your mom, buddy. No man is poor who has a godly mother. And then George Washington said these words, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Now, this last one is really the most profound of all of them. "If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands?" Milton Berle. Milton Berle. I mean, you know, a lot of wisdom came from Milton Berle. If you're under 40, we'll explain who Milton Berle is later. In y'all's honor, moms, today, we're going to be giving a substantial gift to Pregnancy Resources of Abilene, which is a great agency. If you don't know about that agency, get online and look it up. Pregnancy Resources of Abilene, they will be receiving a gift in your honor. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for our moms, and we thank you for your Spirit. And we pray that you would come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would speak in power and authority, change our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Something inside of us, is just wired in us, looks beyond this life, doesn't it? I mean, we just have this yearning, these questions, and this yearning for something beyond this life. We are wired, church, I believe, for eternity. Now, this past week, I took a trip to a conference that I was, and I had to fly. And this is kind of personal. I don't even think I've ever shared this with my wife before, but I wanted to share it with you. It just seems, I don't think about it and I don't plan it, but when I'm on the plane and they taxi out to the runway and they kind of position themselves to prepare to take off, and you can always hear the engines revving, can't you? Right before you take off, and you can just kind of, you know, it's just, and it just starts building. At that moment, it just kind of comes out of me. It's not planned, but here's basically what I pray. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's not a joke. I know it's kind of humorous, but it's not a joke. I really, it's just that prayer just floods my soul because, you know, if we have a terminal illness and we have time to reflect on death and we kind of look it square in the eyes, I guess. But other than those moments, taking off in an airplane is probably the closest that we'll get to looking our eternity square in the eyes before it's, you know, we get older and it's time for us to go. And, you know, you read that airplanes, most of the crashes happen on takeoffs or landings. And so I have a similar prayer, not quite as intense, but I have a similar prayer when I land. But this past week, I said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I said, if you're ready for me, I'm ready for you. That's what I said. And I said, I surrender my family to your care. There's something in us that is looking beyond this life. Turn with me, if you would, to John 3. John chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 16 verses of chapter 3. Now, probably the most well-known and most famously quoted scripture in the Bible is what? John 3:16. So we're going to get to the 16th verse in a minute, but this story is what precedes John 3:16. So we're going to begin in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Now, notice he doesn't come during the day. He comes at night. So he was probably sneaking around, knowing that his fellow Pharisees wouldn't be crazy about him speaking with this so-called Messiah. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now watch the dynamics of what changes here. Has a question been asked? There's been a statement made by Nicodemus. Has a question been asked? Verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So Nicodemus hadn't asked anything about the kingdom of God. He hasn't asked anything about what happens when we die or any of those kinds of things. He's just made a statement. Hey, we know that you must be a prophet because you're doing all these miraculous things. And Jesus launches right in. He goes right to the heart of the issue because he knows what's really on Nicodemus' mind. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man, Nicodemus still doesn't get it, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Now, I want you to notice here, Nicodemus is thinking with physical eyes. He's seeing this conversation in the physical realm. He's thinking, born again? What? How can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born again? So he's thinking physical birth. Jesus answered, verse 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. So if that's our focus, if that's what our eyes are on, or things of this world, things of the physical nature, then that's what we're going to get. But Spirit, now notice if you, I don't know if on the, yeah. But the Spirit, big S, who's he talking about? God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You want eternal, supernatural things? It has to happen in the Spirit. It's not going to happen in the physical. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Big S. Born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and do you not understand these things? He's saying, you're who's leading my people? And you don't even understand these very elementary things. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. Our testimony. Not my testimony, our testimony. You think he's actually speaking as on behalf of God the Father? Jesus, right there, he's indicating our testimony. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was speaking on behalf of God himself. No one has ever, I'm going to back up to 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying what we read in John 1, the first chapter of John. He says, the first chapter of John says that the Word, big W, Jesus, was with God, and he was God from the very beginning. So he was in heaven, and Jesus became flesh, and he came down to dwell among us. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What happened on the cross? They laid the cross down, and they nailed Jesus to the cross. What happened? They lifted him up to place the cross in place. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved, here's the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, I'm continuing the sermon series, Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for real. And today, if you've missed the first 2 weeks, I'm building, okay? Each message is building on the other. So if you've missed those, we've got a rack out in the foyer that's got CDs and DVDs. We've got our website with those messages on them. I encourage you to catch up. But today's message is, who will be there? Who will be there? Now, I'm going to speak more of this in just a moment, but I want to say this. It's not my personal duty, responsibility, or anything else to place people and say, he's in, he's out, she's in, she's out. That's not my job. That's not your job. So I don't pretend to say that. People ask me all the time, what about people that die and never had Jesus introduced to them and they never heard the gospel and so on and so forth? You know what? I'll let God work that out. I'll let God work that out. I'm not assigning who's in and who's out. Sometimes the life speaks for itself, though. Did you know that? I see it all the time when I'm doing funerals. I see a life and I'm like, that lady got it. That lady got it. She understood. So I want us to just kind of take the, as we look at this question of who will be there, I want us to just look at some points here. The first thing is, the Bible says that God has given each of us a choice. This passage today, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, so that, let's look at that verse for just a second. What is Jesus implying? Some people will be in, and some people will be out. Some people will spend eternity in heaven with their Heavenly Father, and some people won't. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. This is played out so beautifully on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. He has two thieves on both sides. He has one thief, and both of the thieves are guilty. They both admit that they're guilty and they deserve the punishment they are receiving. And so one of the thieves says, he begins to curse Jesus, and he begins to mock him. And he's like, if you're really who you say you are, get us all down from here. And he begins to just to show no respect for Jesus. And then the other thief says, do you not have any fear whatsoever? This man is innocent. And yet he receives the same punishment that we're receiving. And he says, and so he comes to Jesus in humility and repentance. And he says to him, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. What's Jesus' response? Today you will be with me in paradise. Do you think, and I'm, it's, again, it's not my place or your place to assign, but from the story that's painted for us in the Gospels, would you like to be this thief over here? Who, to the very end, had a hardened heart and showed spite to the Son of God? Or would you rather be this thief over here? Guilty, but humble and repentant. Church, we have a choice. The Bible says it. Jesus declared it, that we have a choice. God has given us a free will to make that choice. Second thing, the Bible says that that choice has eternal consequences. This is serious stuff we're talking about here. Eternal consequences. It's not you know, just little stuff that we're dealing with. These are eternal things that we're dealing with. Verse 14, the Son of Man must be lifted up. We talked about what that means. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He's speaking of eternal things. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, he doesn't say that everybody gets in. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so everybody's in. Is that what he says? These are eternal things we're talking about. Eternal fate is in the balance. For not just for us, but for everyone. For those people out there. People that don't know Jesus died for them. This choice has eternal consequences. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So according to Scripture, according to Jesus, the choice is eternal life with him or perish. That's the choice. Jesus is mapping it out for us. Eternal life or perish. Fairly substantial consequences, wouldn't you say? Do we have a passion to tell people that? You know, one of the things, I'm getting off script here, but that's sometimes when God does his best stuff. What Jesus did is not just for someday when we go to heaven. It's for freedom now. Just a few months ago, I spoke with someone who had been in bondage for their whole life to something that happened in their childhood. Been living in bondage their whole life. And Jesus set them free. Those people still walk the earth today. They haven't yet got their eternal reward, but they've got a reward today. Right now, it's called freedom. It's freedom in Christ. Freedom from this woundedness and this bondage and this brokenness that the world can place on us and our own sin sometimes. And if not our sin, then just the sin and brokenness of this whole world. It's like we just have this weight on us. And I will tell you, that's the very burning passion of my heart as a pastor, is I don't want to see anybody in bondage. I don't want to see anybody living with their wound. I want people to have freedom in Christ. That's the very burning heart of my ministry. The third thing, the Bible says that the choice is Jesus. It's real simple. The choice is Jesus. Billy and I were just talking this morning before worship. I don't know, man. Sometimes I probably just need to quit watching the news. And you can't quit watching. You got to quit everything to get away from it. I mean, there's just the brokenness of our world and our country and our culture is just, it's staggering to me. I don't know if it is to you. Sometimes I'm just, it's just the weight of it. It's like, man, there's just hurting, broken, messed up people all over the place. And nobody's giving them the answer. Nobody's telling them there's freedom in Christ. Something must happen to us, church, deep in our hearts in the spiritual realm. You know, I don't know how many people live their life and are very dedicated to church and die, and they never got it. I mean, you go to church and you think it's about being good. You think it's about, you know, worshiping a certain way. You think about it's wearing the right things and saying the right things and singing the right things and belonging to the right denomination and all of this on and on and on. We focus on the physical realm. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh. If that's what you're about, you're not going to have eternal life. But spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus said no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the spirit. Now, one of the mistakes, and I know there's probably many Christians that disagree with me on this, but that's not talking about baptism. And you can challenge me on it, and we can have. I'll be happy to visit with you about it and open God's Word. But that's not talking about baptism. It's talking about, you know, if you look at the context of the conversation, Nicodemus, as soon as Jesus says you must be born of water and the Spirit, Nicodemus is going, well, how can a man enter? And he's looking with these physical eyes. How can he enter into his mother's womb again? And blah blah blah. And Jesus goes, no. You must be born of the water. Sure, you might. You know what happens when you give birth, ladies? What's the first thing that happens? Your water breaks. So that's what he's talking about. This physical birth of, yes, you must be born of water. Yeah. You must have a physical birth. But unless you're born of the Spirit, you can never inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? In a word, Jesus, what he did for us, what he accomplished for us. Now, just a couple of different places. I love in Acts, Peter, a couple of different places in Acts. When Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and things began to happen, he began to preach. He began to preach the first sermon, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the people that heard it were convicted, and they said, what must we do? And he said, repent. First words out of his mouth was repent. When John the Baptist was preparing the way for Christ, what did he say? Repent. When Jesus launched his ministry, what did he say? Repent. Means to turn and walk the other way. We don't like that. We don't like that. We don't like it when God starts meddling and telling us that we should live our lives a certain way. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't really like mom and dad's rules. I was probably about 22 before they stopped making me take naps. I was 21, maybe 21. It used to frustrate the hand out of me. I got things to do. You need to go, Jeffy, you need to go take a nap. That was my mom's little name for me. We don't like rules. But unfortunately, and I've never admitted this before, but mom probably knew best. You know? Our Heavenly Father knows best. And Peter, he says, repent and be baptized. And baptism is important, and we're supposed to do it, and Christ has called us to do that. I'm not setting that aside. I'm just saying this particular scripture, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a physical birth, and he's talking about a spiritual birth. We need a spiritual birth. Something supernatural, spiritual needs to happen. And I tell you, it doesn't happen just because our rear end is in a pew every Sunday. It doesn't happen because of that. Now, I forget who said this, but it's just like standing in a garage does not make you a car.
No.
Being in church does not make you born again. There's something that has to happen in the supernatural. And Peter says it this way in Acts 4. He says, salvation is found in no one else. So, you know, I don't know. If I'm just going to be honest, I don't know about all that other stuff. What happens to this good person? I mean, you can blow your mind thinking about good people throughout history that were not Christians. Gandhi. You know, Gandhi, I think, was a good man. You can blow your mind. It's not mine to say Gandhi's in heaven or he's not in heaven. It's not mine to say. What Jesus has told me is go and make disciples. Peter said, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus has changed my life. Has he changed yours?
Amen.
That's the hope that I have to give to you. I have nothing else to give you but Jesus. And so, dadgummit, I'm going to give him to you. That's all I have. That's the hope that I have in my life, and that's the hope that I have for you, and I'm going to share him with you because Jesus said so. Salvation is found in no one else. He changes life. He changes our life. So my question to you this morning is, you know, we can work out, you know, we can start trying to map out and make our Excel spreadsheet of who's in and who's out. But that's not, I don't know about all that other stuff. I know I'm in. And I don't say that in arrogance. I say that in humility. I know when I'm sitting on that tarmac and I hear those engines rev up and I say, Father, I promise it is kind of silly, but it's not a joke. If that plane goes down, I'm good. If God's done with me, I'm good to go. Because I know when I close my eyes here, I will open my eyes there. And I'll be embraced by nail-scarred hands. And I'll say, I know you. You died for me. I know you. You loved me when I was unlovable. You gave me mercy when I deserved wrath. So my question to you this morning is, do you know him? I want with all my heart, and I can't even imagine how much Jesus wants it. I want with all my heart for you to know him. I've seen him set the captives free. I've seen it so many times, the difference that Jesus makes. Do you know him? He knows you. He knows you, church. And you were on his mind when they nailed him to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy? It wasn't heaven. He'd already been there. He stepped out of heaven to be with us. What was the joy set before him? You and me. Because he knew that this posture was going to bring people unto himself. Was going to shred that barrier that sin had put up in our lives. And you were worth it. You were worth the nails. If you feel like you were worth the nails, you were worth the nails. If you don't feel like you were worth the nails, you were worth the nails. You were on his mind. Do you know him? The Bible tells us that those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, their eternity is secure. I want you to just, if you would, bow your heads with me. If the praise team just stay down where you are. It's just let the Holy Spirit kind of speak to your heart a second. So I ask this question. Have you trusted Jesus for your eternal security? And perhaps you've trusted Him for your eternal security, but you're not trusting Him for the here and now today, for the stresses of life, for the fear and the grief and the loneliness. He doesn't just want to reward you someday. He wants you to have peace today. Have you trusted Jesus? So I'm gonna while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you want to trust Jesus for the very first time this morning, if you want Spirit, His Spirit, to give birth to your spirit, with every head bowed, just raise your hand. If that's you, first time this morning. Don't be afraid. Thank you. And if you've trusted Jesus for your eternal security, but you know there's areas of your life you're not trusting Him with right now today, fear or grief or loneliness or anger, unforgiveness, and you want that, you want to trust Him with those situations, with those relationships, if that's you this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand. Amen. 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 Okay, just, Lord, I pray over these who've raised their hands this morning. And for those God is stirring in us, I thank You, Jesus, that when You spoke of these things, you already knew that the cross awaited you. You were setting the table for our eternal life with our Heavenly Father. And we thank You for that. For those who've got things in their life that they want to surrender to You, that they want to give up to You, Father, I pray that You would be the God of all comfort, that Your peace would pass understanding, that You would set the prisoners free. Set us free, God, to love You, to have that peace in our hearts. Father, I thank You that You have purchased our eternity, and through Christ Jesus, we can come boldly before the throne of God and say, I will be there. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank You, Jesus, that You've written it in blood. You've made a blood oath with us, and You are good for Your promises. In Jesus' name. Amen. If our praise team will come as we close this morning, if you want to come and pray, if you want me to pray with you, please come. If you want any sort of decision that you would like to make public this morning, there is a card. I believe it's a yellow card. In the seat in front of you has some boxes you can check. You can bring that to me, or you can leave it in your chair as well. Let's stand as we close.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' frame. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Will you be there? That's not an arrogant response to say yes. It's just not. When we have confidence that we will be there through the blood of Christ, it places no significance on who we are and what we have done, but all significance on who He is and what He has done for you. So I want to ask you again, will you be there?
Yes.
Go with that boldness. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you, mothers.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all